So we'll see how far we get, but we'll start with text 6, Canto 3, chapter 12. What we heard yesterday morning was the four Kumaras appeared as a manifestation of Lord Brahma directly from his body, and two purposes. One primary purpose, to counteract the avidya influences that were necessary for creation. He manifested the vidya influence, so the living entities could have an alternative. And the other, secondary, was to assist Lord Brahma in his work, his creating good praja to populate the creation. And respectfully, the four Kumaras declined. And the reason for their declining was they were very satisfied in their position as celibate brahmacharis, so much so that they maintained little Kumara age bodies, and regarded the entering into family life or producing children something unnecessary for them and not helpful for their spiritual perfection, progress towards spiritual perfection. They aimed at liberation and therefore they expressed their unwillingness. That was text 5. So now, text 6, on the refusal of the sons to obey the order of their father, there was much anger generated in the mind of Brahma, which he tried to control and not express. That's nice. Purport. Brahma is the director in charge of the mode of passion of material nature. Therefore, it was natural for him to become angry on the refusal of his sons to obey his order. In that sentence, Prabhupada is indicating no fault. Because one might think, hey, this is Lord Brahma. What's anger doing in the mind of the head of our sampradaya? What's going on? No fault. He's different than Lord Vishnu, who does not directly contact the modes of nature. The expansions of Lord Vishnu, the other two of the modes of nature lords, they directly contact the modes of nature in service, but they're in contact with the modes of nature. So Lord Shiva destroys and Lord Brahma creates, and because of contact with the mode of passion, we know what happens. Rajoguna sam udbhava. The result is Kama, and following Kama is his younger brother, Krodha. Although the Kumaras were right in such acts of refusal, Brahma, being absorbed in the mode of passion, could not check his passionate anger. He did not express it, however, because he knew that his sons were far enlightened in spiritual advancement, and thus he should not express his anger before them. There's another lesson. Doesn't mean like somebody's less enlightened, so go right ahead and exhibit all the anger you want, it's okay. But on the other hand, in deference to the Enlightenment, although they're even, they're his sons, it's culture before such an enlightened person, even you're feeling something like this, you check it. And text 7, although he tried to curb his anger, it came out from between his eyebrows, and a child of mixed blue and red. That's dark. Mixed blue and red, and what do you get? Was immediately generated. Purport. Short purport. The face of anger is the same, whether exhibited due to ignorance or knowledge. Although Brahma tried to curb his anger, he could not do so, even though he is the Supreme Being, not with capitals, the firstborn living being, the topmost living being, even he could not check. Such anger, in its true color, came from between the eyebrows of Brahma as Rudra, in a mixed color of blue, ignorance, and red, passion, because anger is a product of passion and ignorance. Text 8, and several verses have no purport. After his birth, he began to cry, "Oh, destiny maker, teacher of the universe, kindly designate my name and place." The all-powerful Brahma, who was born from the lotus flower, pacified the boy with gentle words, accepting his request, and said, "Do not cry. I shall certainly do as you desire." Therefore Brahma said, "O chief of the demigods," Sura Shrestha is the Sanskrit, "you shall be called by the name Rudra by all people, because you have so anxiously cried." No purport. Text 11. "My dear boy, I have already selected the following places for your residence." Rudra. 1. The heart. 2. The senses. 3. The air of life. The sky. The air, the fire, the water, the earth, the sun, the moon, and austerity. Purport. The creation of Rudra from between the eyebrows of Brahma as the result of his anger, generated from the mode of passion, partly touched by ignorance, is very significant. In Bhagavad Gita 3:37, the principle of Rudra is described. Krodha, anger, is the product of kama, lust, which is the result of the mode of passion. When lust and hankering are unsatisfied, the element of krodha appears, which is the formidable enemy of the conditioned soul. This most sinful and inimical passion is represented as ahankara, or the false egocentric attitude of thinking oneself to be all in all. Such an egocentric attitude on the part of the conditioned soul, who is completely under the control of material nature, is described in Bhagavad Gita as foolish. The egocentric attitude is a manifestation of the Rudra principle in the heart, wherein krodha, anger, is generated. This anger develops in the heart and is further manifested through various senses like the eyes, hands, and legs. When a man is angry, He expresses such anger with red-hot eyes and sometimes makes a display of clenching his fists or kicking his legs. This exhibition of the Rudra principle is the proof of Rudra's presence in such places. When a man is angry, he breathes very rapidly, and thus Rudra is represented in the air of life, or in the activities of breathing. When the sky is overcast with dense clouds and roars in anger, and when the wind blows very fiercely, the Rudra principle is manifested. And so, also, when the seawater is infuriated by the wind, it appears in a gloomy feature of Rudra, which is very fearful to the common man. When fire is ablaze, we can also experience the presence of Rudra. And when there is an inundation over the earth, we can understand this is also the representation of Rudra. Paragraph. There are many earthly creatures who constantly represent the Rudra element. The snake, tiger, and lion are always representations of Rudra. Sometimes, because of the extreme heat of the sun, there are cases of heat stroke. And due to the extreme coldness created by the moon. There are cases of collapse. There are many sages empowered with the influence of austerity, and many yogis, philosophers, and renouncers who sometimes exhibit their acquired power under the influence of the Rudra principle of anger and passion. The great yogi Durvasa, under the influence of this Rudra principle, picked a quarrel with Maharaj Ambarish. And a Brahmana boy exhibited the Rudra principle by cursing the great King Parikshit. When the Rudra principle is exhibited by persons who are not engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the angry person falls down from the peak of his improved position. This is confirmed as follows. In Yirvindakshava Muktamaninas, etc. The most lamentable fall down of the impersonalist is due to his false and unreasonable claim of being one with the Supreme. There's more verses coming on Brahma speaking to Rudra, and several points. The Prabhupada addresses in his purport the appearance of Rudra as the Rudra principle, but we should also remember that the Rudra principle is a person. Behind everything is a person. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the ninth chapter, there's a description of Lord Brahma before creation, Lord Brahma performing his austerities. And in the course of his austerities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested himself in fullness. We get a shorter version of that in the first canto, where Vyas, in trance and meditation, sees the Supreme Lord in full. And the Acharya's commentary says, in full means his abode, his associates, everything, the whole spiritual world manifested in Vyasadeva's meditation. So with Lord Brahma, he appeared not just in his mind in meditation, but he appeared before him. And so he got up and he went before the Supreme Lord. And the verse describes, surrounding the Lord were, and just gives numbers, the 6 and the 10 and the 16 and the this and the that, and the personified Vedas. So, you know, we have the Vedas, but we have the personified Vedas. The 16, so in the purport, Prabhupada describes what these numbers represent. The 16, 5 knowledge acquiring senses, 5 working senses, 5 objects of the senses, and the mind. Personified in the spiritual world. So we have, you know, senses and sense objects and minds over here. But the spiritual counterpart is there. And the spiritual counterpart is personified. So behind everything, there's person. And behind the energies of the Supreme Lord, there's a Supreme Person. But, the, you know, there... Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses this dictionary-like terminology by saying the prototype. So I don't know so much about patents, but the little bit that I know is when you get something patented, you patent the prototype, and from that prototype, once patented, you can make others. From that prototype, you know, that's patented. So, probably with, I'm just guessing because I really don't know, but probably there's some kind of term when a software company is creating a product, or, you know, there's some, the product is the prototype that you then, like, manufacture. Give it to the manufacturer, but there's the research and development team. Then they, so whatever that is, the, you know, the original from which others are made, that has a name. So in the spiritual realm, there's the spiritual person. And when the Supreme Lord desires something, that's all he has to do, his energies carry it out. Parasha Shakti Vividaiva Shruyate Sabhavaki Gyanam Bhava Kriyacha. The Lord does nothing, but he desires. And then his energies, being the servants of the Lord, see the desire of the Lord, or somehow detect the desire of the Lord, and they carry that out. And thus we have creation. And when the Lord desires the withdrawal of that universe, so it is. Like Prabhupada would sometimes speak about the biblical explanation of creation. The Lord said, "Let there be light," and so it was. But, you know, how does that happen? In the spiritual realm, there's potencies, and the potencies receive the indication the Lord has a desire, and they expand themselves in order to carry out the desire of the Lord, because they're servants. So, it's not exactly the same, because this is, second canto is the spiritual dimension, and then what happens in the material realm, because these very same energies are the energies that Lord Brahma has to utilize for his purpose of creation. So literally he doesn't create anything, he just takes elements and works with them according to the plan and the intelligence and ability that the Lord gives him. In this case, the Rudra is manifest, and then the Rudra principle, because Brahma, who's already contemplated this, has given Rudra places to reside, Rudra resides and the Rudra principle is active. So we can't have the Rudra principle without Rudra. And we don't have Rudra without Lord Brahma manifesting Rudra. And we don't have Lord Brahma manifesting Rudra without the Supreme Lord empowering him. So there's the cause of all causes. And there's nothing causing the Supreme Lord to do anything. But he does things. It leaks through his energies. So, in that, like, domino effect of the manifesting of the Rudra principle, in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining how the presence of Rudra in these different places that Brahma has given him to reside, when desire that's born of contact with passion is unfulfilled and, you know, guaranteed, like not sometimes, but guaranteed, desires are not fulfilled. Even if the thing happens, it's not fulfilling. And then when the thing doesn't happen, it's also not fulfilling. Frustration is the product of an unfulfilled desire. So, guaranteed. The mode of ignorance has its place in material existence. It has to. Otherwise you don't have material existence. You take away the mode of ignorance. And is there such a thing, like Prabhupada describes? From Bhagavad Gita, we have descriptions of the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and the mixing. In further elaboration on this, Prabhupada describes, in this material world, there's nothing that's pure. They're not like pure passion, or pure ignorance, or pure goodness. Even Krishna indicates that there's a mix, but so there's this influence of the modes of nature, but it's a mix, always. So that means even goodness, or even passion, there's ignorance. Just like before there's bodies, there's ignorance. The translation that Prabhupada gave was nescient engagements. Text number 2. Nescient engagements like, then a nice list, again in sequence, self-deception, sense of death, anger after frustration, sense of false ownership, illusory bodily conception, forgetfulness of one's real identity, all under the heading of nescient engagement. Before there's even bodies engaging, there's this condition. The conditions under which a living entity in the material world has to live were created by Brahma before the factual creation. So, ignorance is going to be there as long as you have material life. To have material life, you need a nice amount of ignorance. And then sequentially, Brahma is concerned about, you know, the misfortune of living entities that are going to have to endure this ignorance. So he creates, manifests the Kumaras, where Vidya influence is provided. Nice, strong feature of the quality of goodness, even because of their devotion, transcendence, that influence is also, can be accessed by a living entity, free will choosing Vidya instead of avidya. There's the avidya power that's pulling them, us, towards avidya. So it's like, not just snap your fingers, there's something that's required for us. But there's the material creation. Brahma is empowered to bring about material creation. And so when the Kumaras say, no thanks, Dad, there's anger. And it comes out. And it's in creation. It's just part of the plan of Lord Vishnu for creation. So we're not blaming Brahma, we're not blaming Rudra, we're not blaming Lord Vishnu. It's the living entities desiring. And so here it is. And so the Rudra principle. Now, the various places, the heart, the hands and legs, and the air of life, and so forth, the sky, the ocean, the sun, fire. Sounds like, you know, just a list of elements, but Rudra principle, the principle of anger or destruction, the influence of ignorance is there. So, what's a nice, you know, pious soul to do? We're in this atmosphere that, you know, so many places. What do you do? And there's different things that one can do, but the entry-level instruction that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita is you tolerate that influence. You don't respond to it. You tolerate it. Tang-satiksha-svabharata. With an understanding that this is just due to sense perception. Matra sparshas means arising from sense perception. Then that's like the doorway, like someone knocks on the door and you open the door and in comes duality. Marching in, taking over. Duality. So how do you like deal with the duality that's knocking on the door? You tolerate it. You withdraw consciousness from, so, and we're in that atmosphere where there's the Rudra principle all over the place. Ignorance, influence. You don't, like, get into it. You don't react to that pushing of that influence. So, what do? You invest your attention in Krishna. You invest your attention in sat instead of asat. Here comes a bunch of asat, and you just don't identify with it. Instead, you identify with sat. The soul, the soul's position of service. Like that example that was expressing yesterday at the temple. When once Prabhupada was asked this question, one of the question-answer sessions. Arjuna, unlike us, Arjuna heard directly from Krishna, and he became enlightened. He became the recipient of the message of Parampara and was supposed to pass it on. That's what Krishna wanted. Arjuna said yes. He had that qualification. Then later, during the battle, he saw his son die. He knew that he's not the body. He knew that the body is perishable. And he lamented. So, you know, one part of the question is, if all this nice stuff happened, why did Arjuna lament? And the other was, if this can happen to Arjuna, what about us? So Prabhupada explained, no, it's natural. Even you understand the soul is not the body, or that the self is the soul, not the body. When the soul leaves the body, and there's affection for that person, even the soul, it's natural, there's some feeling. But the Prabhupada explained that the real examining point for Arjuna was, he didn't desist from his service. In all circumstances, we carry on with our service because that's who we are. And that's our place of shelter. So even something is disturbing, arising from sense perception, you tolerate it and you go on with your service. And if that shelter of identity as Krishna's eternal servant is weak, and our proportionate to our identification with matter is strong, then our service gets interrupted and we start, you know, whining and complaining and getting spun out. Not, whoa, what to do? Bewildered. So take, withdraw consciousness from asat and invest consciousness in sat and carry on with your service and process the what just happened in the asat realm as best you can. But whatever you do, don't leave the shelter of the position of serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. When one continues like that, we, from our previous verses, the influence of time acts differently. The influence of the modes of nature act differently. Same living being, just, you know, the conditioning influences move in a different way by that one protecting power, the shelter and the service of Krishna. Let my mind not budge an inch, Lord Brahma. Tattenu kampam susanikshamano verse. Let my mind not budge one inch from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord with firm determination. You know, move it down to like something that we do every day. Chant the holy name. Let my mind not budge an inch from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality Godhead. Even if the mind goes here, there, a million times, let me bring the mind back to the holy name and continue and continue and continue and continue. And by that practice of cultivating that fixed determination, vrata, or sankalpa, or intention, continuing, continuing, invest in that, you have protection from the onslaught of material nature that is surrounding us and is awaiting us, just like, you know, around the corner, or you go out the, you don't even have to go around the corner, just go out the door, just like hang around here for a while, and something's going to happen. There's going to be a disturbance. And so what's the protection? It's that shelter. That's the cultivation of bhakti through our sadhana, our devotional practices. There was one other point I wanted to make and it went away. Yeah, the other point was in the purport, Prabhupada is speaking about egocentric attitude. So the egocentric attitude is a manifestation of the Rudra principle. Here's what he says. When lust and hankering are unsatisfied, the element of krodha appears, which is the formidable enemy of the conditioned souls. This is one of the six enemies. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarja. So, formidable enemy appears when lust and hankering are unsatisfied. Next sentence. This most sinful and inimical passion is represented as ahankar, or the false ego, egocentric attitude of thinking oneself to be all in all. Like, egocentric means, but like it minimally, I'm at the center and it's how we experience life. Like, what's around us is from our vantage point. The seat of consciousness, this little soul. And that's egocentric. It's specifically, when we're thinking like that, forgetfulness of Krishna is really the center, and our position in relation to Krishna is forgotten. But the other then is, this other identity is taken. Not only I'm at the center, but, you know, I'm the body. To remove the bodily conception, we read on Friday evening that purport from 241 Bhagavad Gita, to perfection of spiritual life is to relinquish the conception of material existence, of, you know, that this is our field of happiness and it's who we are, letting go of the bodily conception of life. So that bodily conception of life is the covering, this egocentric covering, that says, I'm at the center. And because I'm at the center, everything is meant for my enjoyment. There are things that I like and there are things that I don't like. It brings me happiness, it brings me unhappiness, and I want to change those things that bring me unhappiness. Even if that's something that brings me unhappiness, brings somebody else happiness. And then you have all this egocentric clashing between egocentric individual spirit souls that are in illusion thinking they're at the center. You know, it's by design, it's problematic. It's not going to be peaceful. It can't be peaceful. I remember seeing a little video of Prabhupada was invited by Yogi Bhajan. And Yogi Bhajan had an idea. And so he was expressing this idea to Prabhupada. It's on video and film. And Yogi Bhajan moved his hand in the air like this and said, Swamiji, you are a very influential spiritual personality in this world. Let us do this. Let us bring all the people together and, like moving his hand, and teach them to love one another. And Prabhupada cut him off and said, they will never. It's sentiment. The sentiment is a nice sentiment, but when one is attached to the bodily conception of life, even they may have like goodness ideals, you hold on to the bodily conception of life and you're going to have ego clashing. It's just, they will never. Where it will happen is accepting Krishna as the center. So conditioned souls don't want that. They want peace, tranquility, harmony with myself at the center. Or you go to the next, which is the last sentence of the purport, where the impersonalist says, you know, the materialist says, I am all in all, and the impersonalist says, I'm God. It's like just a different set of language, but the same principle. I am Brahman, aham brahmasmi, and so are you, and nice to meet you. I'm God, you're God, we're all God. I'm still at the center. Not, you know, I don't want Krishna to be at the center, I want to be at the center. Like childish, stamping my little foot, saying, I want to be at the center. It's the egocentric attitude is a manifestation of the Rudra principle in the heart, wherein Krodha is generated. So, what's a nice, pious person to do with this circumstance? It's not a matter of making a mental adjustment. Okay, I'll get rid of false ego. Let's see, I'll put some other things over here. And some other. It's not just a matter of managing our illusion nicely. It's letting go of illusion and embracing reality. It's difficult. It's a major, just like on the counseling of devotees side of things, it's a major issue when nice devotees, confront by their sincerity and confront the reality that there's this thing that keeps holding me back from making spiritual progress. And the enemy is myself. It's this attachment to being a controller, attachment to being independent, attachment to not being accountable. I'm right, just ask me. And that, you know, I'll refer you to my friends who will also say, yes, I'm right. I built my little kingdom around me that says, you know, I'm right. And scripture references, and Prabhupada says, and you know, I'm right. And how come they don't understand it? Or some other form of that. Why people don't understand me? How come I don't have friends? And so forth. And so there's something like a primordial mistake that we don't want to address. Issues of free will. It's not just a matter of doing things, you know. We have to do things. We have to, you know, rise early and chant the holy name and so forth. We have to do things. But the essence of bhakti is not just behaviors or doing things. It's the essence is submission to Krishna and withdrawal of consciousness from this whole notion of everything is meant for my enjoyment. Including, you know, what I do in devotional service, and everyone is supposed to line up and, you know, be part of my enjoyment. It's not the program. It's not the program. Krishna's enjoyment. It's very challenging, however you cut it. Very challenging. It's not something outside. Something inside. So all of the Srimad Bhagavatam is helping us to like get a clearer picture of what are the forces that are acting upon us. And with knowledge, then detachment. Let go. At least tolerate and repose your consciousness upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Constitutionally. Engage in His service, lovingly, whatever the circumstances may be. Don't let go of that position of His loving service. And that will help one understand they realize the message of these verses of the Bhagavatam. How does this whole creation thing work? How is it acting upon us? These are like the elemental stages. Again, before there's bodies that these elements are or conditions are acting upon. Hare Krishna. Any comments or discussion? Sorry for being late. It's already 8:15. Anything? Yes?
Maharaj, you said one of the representations of Rudra is austerity. Can you elaborate a little bit more?
One of the representations of Rudra is austerity. Prabhupada doesn't explain it. Here we go. There are many sages empowered with the influence of austerity. So, like Devasmuni or Hiranyakashipu, or, you know, undergo austerity for that purpose of being able to like smash my opposition. It doesn't have to be like that. austerity can be for a different purpose. But the Rudra principle may take shelter there. One has to be careful. You engage in austerity that you don't misuse it, or it misuses you. Anything else? Yes?
When one is angry, like, should we hold it inside or should we let it out? Like,
should you hold it inside or should you do what?
Should we let it out?
What do you think?
Because when I'm angry, I'm sure I'm not remembering all these. My memory is lost.
And yeah, so, but that's a different statement. That's a statement. What if your question was, should we let it out? The verse, tamsa tiksha sabharata, you tolerate. And think of Krishna, or think of that which is eternal. Think of transcendence. Go down a notch and exercise forgiveness. That's Bhishma Dev's instruction. The antidote for anger is forgiveness. So go there. In a different ways you can exercise forgiveness towards whoever it is that you're feeling the anger. Why is someone behaving in a certain, in such way? If we could understand why they're behaving in such and such way, we could easily forgive them. Doesn't mean we like the behavior, but you can forgive the person. And then you can think, what can I do to be of service to this person so that that which is prompting them into some behavior that's undesirable or not nice, they don't have to behave that way. Something's troubling them. What can we do to be of service to relieve that trouble for them? Then you go right, you know, you go to the root. You stay in the service mode. Otherwise, we're being carried away. Not just by the person or the circumstance, but by the modes of nature. Being swept away. Should we just get swept away? Go with the flow? No. You're a conscious living entity and you can choose other things besides that one. To your capacity, you do that. It's not just like hold it in and grit your teeth, it's place your consciousness elsewhere. Krishna will give the intelligence, Krishna will give the strength, Krishna will give the ability, Krishna will give whatever's required. You know, it's not like you have to just go with the mode of ignorance. Make some choices. Something else? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai.